Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you are visiting with us this morning, I just want to give you a heads up. In the pew, the seat in front of you is a blue card. If you do not mind us knowing that you were here, we would love to know that you were here. We won't stalk you or any of those kinds of things, but we just would like to know that you are here. And that blue card, you can fill that out and check the appropriate boxes and so forth. We really hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place this morning. Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 5. Now, I want to set this verse up. This is Paul, his letter to the Romans. And he, in chapter 7, which is an awesome chapter, I encourage you to read that chapter. But Paul talks about this struggle that he finds within himself. This struggle, he knows the right things to do, but the right things that he knows to do, he finds himself struggling to do the very things he knows he shouldn't do. And he talks about this struggle within him. And what that is it's this struggle between our sinful nature, the flesh, and this struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And so we pick it up in verse 5 of chapter 8. Paul says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." So he's talking about this struggle going on, and he turns it now to you, us, who are have Christ and have the Holy Spirit. He says, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." I want to repeat that. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Amen. Amen to God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for these families, the McAnally's and the Fernandez family and the Loudermilks. We thank you that they have brought and presented their children to you today, and that you have said yes to them as you have said yes to us. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Speak in power and authority. Change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm concluding the sermon series today, Spirit-Filled Living. Spirit-Filled Living. And we've talked about how we have this, how Jesus had promised to send the Holy Spirit when he ascended back to heaven to the Father. We've talked about that. And we've talked about how he made good on that promise in Acts chapter 2. We know that day is Pentecost when Jesus sent his Holy Spirit. And he came and he filled the believers and they began, basically the church launched at that point. As the church was filled with the Spirit, things began to happen. And then we talked last week about how Jesus, just the different ways that Jesus had the Holy Spirit intricately involved in his life. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He received the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove at his baptism. He was empowered and equipped to go out into the wilderness and to do his ministry through the power of the Holy Spirit. He endured the cross through the power of the Spirit. He was resurrected by the power of the Spirit, and then he sent his Spirit. That's fairly significant. Huh? That's a mouthful. Now, today, we talk about this, how this same Spirit that empowered Jesus to do everything that he did now is sent to live inside of us. We are clothed with power, and this is the second piece of that, how we personally are clothed with power. Now, I've debated whether to play this, but I'm going to play it, because if you've been here for very long, if you're a member of our church, you know I'm a goofball. No amens to that? I'm goofy, I know it. I was thinking, my mind works in weird ways sometimes. I was thinking as I was preparing for, I did get an amen on that, I think. I was thinking about this filling of the Holy Spirit, and I know this, no one else's mind would go there, but mine went to a Ray Stevens. Anybody know Ray Stevens? To a Ray Stevens video. Roll that videotape.
Well, when I was a kid, I'd take a trip every summer down to Mississippi, visit my granny and her antebellum world. I'd run barefooted all day long, climbing trees, free as a song. One day, I happened to catch myself a squirrel. Well, I stuffed him down in an old shoebox and punched a couple holes in the top. When Sunday came, I snuck him into church. I was sitting way back in the very last pew, showing him to my good buddy Hugh. When that squirrel got loose, went totally berserk. What happened next is hard to tell. Some thought it was heaven, some thought it was hell. But the fact that something was among us was plain to see. As the choir sang, "I surrender all," the squirrel ran up Harv Newland's coveralls. And Harv leaped to his feet and said, "Something's got a hold on me, yeah!" The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church, in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the out dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose and he screwed the moon. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and that squirrel ran out of his britches leg, unobserved, to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen pew, where sat Sister Bertha, better than you, who'd been watching all the commotion with sadistic glee. Should have seen that look in her eyes when that squirrel jumped her garters and crossed her thighs. She jumped to her feet and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." As that squirrel made laps inside her dress, she began to cry, and then to confess her sins and make a sailor blush with shame. She told of gossip and church dissension, but the thing that got the most attention was when she talked about her love life. And then she started naming names the day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. 7 deacons and the pastor got saved, and $25,000 was raised, and 50 volunteered for missions in the Congo on the spot. And even without an invitation, there were at least 500 rededications, and we all got rebaptized whether we needed it or not. Now you've heard the Bible story, I guess, how he parted the waters for Moses to pass. Oh, the miracles God has wrought in this old world. But the one I'll remember till my dying day is how he put that church back on the narrow way with a half-crazed Mississippi squirrel. The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival.
Let me be clear. That is not what we're talking about. Although if a squirrel would work, I'm for it. Now we're talking about the Holy Spirit empowering us, how we are clothed with power from on high. Jesus said that I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. He also says that in Acts chapter 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. How many of you need power in your life? Just, what, is that it? Rest of you good? All right, if you didn't raise your hand, you don't have to, you can leave now. You don't have to listen to any more of this. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of us. The same Spirit, and I love this, the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead. That resurrection Spirit, the power, can you imagine the power that it took to take this dead, lifeless body and breathe life back into it? That Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, lives inside of us if we have professed Christ. So I want us to just look at what Scripture tells us about how we benefit from this presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the first thing, the Holy Spirit provides gifts, giftedness. If you are in Christ, if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior and you have invited the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, you have been given gifts. Whether you believe it or not, or whether you use them or not, you have been given gifts. Galatians 5:22 is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want that scripture should be on your one of the scriptures that you memorize. Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit. Then 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that there's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one, not to some, but to each one of us in Christ, we have been given manifestations of the Spirit, gifts. The second thing, the Holy Spirit provides peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, do not be afraid. The world understands peace when everything is perfect, when everything's in alignment, when our health is good and our finances are good and our relationships are good and our career is good and all of those things. When everything's good, the world understands peace in that context. But what Jesus is saying is, no, through my Spirit, I give you peace when things are crazy. When the storm is raging all around you, I give you peace in the midst of that. September will be 14 years. And I'm driving along down Antley. If you've been here, you've heard this story. But I'm driving down Antley, and suddenly life as I know it for my family would forever be altered. I'm driving down Antley and I see major smoke in the distance, and came to find out just a short time later that my brother Jay had been in a pipeline blast and had received third degree burns over 100% of his body. You don't survive burns like that. And I remember going to the hospital, into the ER, and I was the only member of the family to get to see Jay before they put him, sedated him. And I remember just that moment. Jay was, it was unrecognizable to me. And Jay was big brother. And big brothers, you know, are stronger than life, bigger than life. I was, anytime we were playing together as kids, I was the one that got hurt. Jay never got hurt because I was always the little guy. And I remember seeing Jay in that state, and suddenly life changed for us. And I remember that moment with Jay, and just how the things that poured out of my mouth that I just kept saying over and over was, Jay, I love you. Jay, I love you. And, you know, all pretenses are washed away at that point. You know, all these games that guys play was just washed away at that point. And I remember in the midst of all of that, and then I had to go and tell Mom and Dad, as they arrived at the ER, and they had already sedated Jay, and so he would not speak with anyone again. And I remember having to go and tell Mom and Dad what had happened and the state Jay was in. And in the midst of it all was peace. I mean, how do you do that? Only Christ can provide that kind of peace in the midst of chaos. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, but I give you peace." The Holy Spirit in us as believers gives us peace to weather the storm. No matter what comes our way, no matter what we face, when the doctor gives us a diagnosis that we don't like to hear, when a spouse says, "I don't love you anymore," when a boss says, "You're fired," when any of those kinds of things happen, there's peace provided by the Holy Spirit. The third thing, the Holy Spirit provides truth. Provides truth. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." He also said, "When the Spirit of Truth comes, He will guide you into all truth." And then He also says in John 14, "The counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." I remember when I was 31, and you've heard this probably too, but I had been in church all my life, and at 31 years old, I finally got it. I realized that the Christian life was not about being good. The Christian life was about a Savior who is good and how He loved me and how He died for me. And I believe with all my heart, even though I had been baptized and professed Christ as my Lord and Savior years before that, I believe with all my heart, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in me at that moment, at 31. And I remember things I saw things differently. I saw the world a little bit differently. I saw relationships differently. And I can remember, this is not a political issue. It's become politicized. But I can remember prior to my filling with the Holy Spirit, I can remember thinking about things that are our hot issues of the day, like abortion. I can remember thinking, "Well, God, you know, I can kind of see, you know, yeah, a woman should have a choice, and I can kind of see that, and I can see, you know, that maybe some people think that that's wrong. I can kind of see both sides of that and everything." And I'm just telling you my experience, church. When the Holy Spirit came upon me, suddenly I realized, no, this is created. This is a life. This is a life. And God doesn't create junk. And He doesn't create things. It's not our choice to discard or to keep life. And so I suddenly saw so many things differently. And I suddenly realized that I was a lousy husband. I was a lousy husband. And the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, convicted me and said, "You need to go home and love your wife. You need to go home and love your wife. You need to be a better father. You need to stop putting all these other priorities in front of your family." And the priority was me. You need to stop putting your own desires in front of your relationship with God and your family. I suddenly began to see things differently. And I want to say this about that subject of abortion. I know there's probably people here sitting here listening to me right now that have perhaps had an abortion or influenced someone else to have an abortion. And I want to tell you, God loves you. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross. Because we mess it up. Because we are sinners. We mess up stuff all the time. And I can just make a list of the sin in my life. So that's not words of condemnation. That's words of mercy and grace. But yet it doesn't change the fact that that's not pleasing to God. Those things are not pleasing to God. And He would have us walk a higher road. And when we don't, He has mercy. Fourth thing, the Holy Spirit provides encouragement and growth. Encouragement and growth. The church in Acts chapter 9, it talks about how the church was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it grew in numbers. And that Pentecost day in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 people accepted Christ. 3,000 men. There was probably more because they counted men, but women and children, there was probably more than that 3,000. But 3,000 came to Christ that day, and the church exploded. Do we want that for our church? Do we want it to explode? Do we want, have this little debate, you know, well, I kind of like the size of our church. It's just right. It's big enough to have, you know, just enough things to do. There's activities for the kids and opportunities for me, and I can get involved if I want to, and I can stay out of it if I want to. It's just right. I get to know most of the people's names. If we get too big, we'll lose all of that. Where's that in the Bible? What chapter and book is that in? I believe the commission to us is to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And there's lost people and hurting people all in our community. Did you know that? There's people that don't know the love of Christ all throughout our community. Which one do we not tell? Go ahead and make a list and turn it in to me at the end, and I'll make sure that I don't tell them about the gospel. No. The Holy Spirit provides encouragement and growth for His church and for His people. The fifth thing, the Holy Spirit provides strength. I don't know about you, but this life can wear me out sometimes. Even good stuff can be exhausting, can it? Does anybody else ever get tired and fatigued and go through those times when you're just like, oh, I'm just tired, Lord. I'm just tired. Romans 8 tells us that in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And that's how we're to come to Christ, is in our weakness, not in our strength. His strength is made right and made relevant in our weakness. We come to Him in weakness, and we're empowered by His Spirit. Sixth thing, the Holy Spirit provides intercession to the Father, the Heavenly Father. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Do you ever just feel like, I don't even know what I need to pray. I'm just tired. I just know I'm needy right now, Lord, and I don't even know how to pray. Is that just me? The Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express, and He searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I want to tell you this, and I think I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Every week, I can't recall ever not doing this, as I began to put my thoughts and my planning for the sermon together, I pray that prayer, that Romans 8 prayer. And I say, Holy Spirit, intercede for me to the Father. Make my heart His heart. Make my mind His mind. Make my words His words. I pray that every week as I'm preparing the sermon. Now, whether or not you get anything out of it or not, it has been submitted to the prayer to the Father in prayer, asking that the Holy Spirit would use this time to touch us and just to mature us. The Holy Spirit provides intercession to the Father. And finally, the Holy Spirit provides maturity. Did you know that none of us have arrived? Did you know that? I mean, I don't care if you've been strong in the faith for, 60 years, 70 years. You haven't arrived. When we come to faith in Christ, when we say yes to Christ and what He's done for us, that's the starting gate, not the finish line. Heard me say that as well. The Galatians, the church in Galatia, were messing up. And Paul told them, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you not now trying to attain your goal by human effort? See, there's this constant thing. We have to continue to bring ourselves back to the Spirit, because what ends up happening, and I'm the worst offender is we begin to serve in the flesh. We begin to try to walk our daily life in the flesh. And Paul was saying to the Galatians, no, you started with the Spirit, and now you're trying to do His work in the flesh? No. Come and serve me in the power of the Spirit. Through your weakness and your deficiencies, empowered by the Spirit, be matured and walk walk your life of faith. Philippians 1 says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you, who began the good work in you? The Spirit. We're prompted by the Spirit to say yes to Christ. We are inhabited by the Spirit. So He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Ephesians talks about not being infants in the faith, tossed to and fro by the waves, blown here and there by every wind. When we're not maturing in the faith, being in God's Word, coming to church and worshiping Him, being in fellowship with other believers, when we're not doing that, we are not maturing. People say all the time, well, you can be a Christian and not go to church. I'm just being real with you. Yeah, you can, but not a very good one. We need to be fed the Word. We need to be in fellowship with one another. We need to be in the presence of Almighty God with fellow believers. We are created for covenant and for relationship and for community. That's the way, that's God's nature. That's how He has created us. If we're not maturing in the faith, then we're going backwards, church. So, how do we receive this power? Jesus said, you'll be clothed with power. How do we receive this power? The first thing is, Scripture tells us that we ask. We ask. Luke chapter 11. If you then, and Jesus has been talking to the disciples about fathers. He said, earthly fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, you don't give him a snake. He said, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit, here, listen for it, to those who ask. Ask. Ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. Ask. That the disciples had been promised the Holy Spirit, and they're sitting around in the upper room, and they're praying and they're waiting, just like they were told. And they're praying and they're asking for Jesus to send what He had promised. And guess what? He did. He responded. And then the second thing, so to ask and then repent and then be baptized. You know, I told you about that moment when I feel like the Holy Spirit filled me. I was covered up with shame and guilt from sin in my life. And I went seeking. I went on this on the walk to Emmaus. I went on this spiritual retreat. And I was so wanting to encounter God. I was just desperate. Because I was weighted down with this guilt and shame from the sin in my life. And I remember that I asked Him to come. And it started for me, after I asked, it started for me with repentance. Realizing God is holy and Jeff Hatcher, you are not. God is holy and you are not. So this confession that I was, and Paul says it in that Romans chapter 7. He says, he comes to this, he's struggling with this flesh and the spirit struggle that's going on. He wants to do this, but he finds himself being tempted to do this. And he comes to this place and he says, what a wretched man I am. What a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this body of death? And the Scripture says, thanks be to God, it's Jesus Christ. So we're to ask and we're to repent and we're to be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit came in Pentecost. Peter began to preach to the people who had gathered there. And he began to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ and how He had come, and yet they had crucified Him, and how He had overcome the grave, and He had risen from the grave, and he had overcome death itself. And he began to preach the gospel to him. And the people that were convicted, these 3,000, said, what should we do? And he said, repent and be baptized. So I encourage you this morning, if you would bow your heads with me. You may be like me and have been in church for years, but the Holy Spirit is now prompting you and saying, it's not about being good. It's not about going to church. It's about I love you. And I died for you. And I want you to receive abundant life. Not to just survive life, but abundant life. So if that's you, Scripture tells us just ask. Ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. Repent of your sin. If that's you, just do that in your heart. Just pray this prayer with me in your own heart. Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. But yet you said that you came to give me abundant life. You came to set the captives free. Well, I'm captive and I'm asking you to set me free. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin and I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I do this, Lord, because that's what you say to do. I repent and I ask you to come into my heart. Your word says to repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, on us gathered here. If you are not residing in us, we ask you to do it now. In faith, we trust you. Wash us white as snow. Fill us with your power. Clothe us with power on high. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The praise team will come up. If you invited Christ into your life, if you invited Him to fill you with your Holy Spirit, remember, the third thing is baptism. If you have not been baptized in that faith, I encourage you to come and seek me out as we close or even after the service. Come and seek me out. Don't leave without talking to me or Billy or one of the other staff members. Please don't leave today without that. This is an opportunity for you to receive Christ. So let's stand as we close.
Come, you sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Come, ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty, glorify true belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you life. I will arise and go to Jesus. Will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are Come, you weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000.
Oh, there are.
Oh, there are 10,000 John.
Are you clothed with power from on high? You are clothed with power from on high. Go and tell someone. God bless you in Jesus' name.
I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms.